Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and you're tuned in to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Puchina Kirkendall, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be in here tonight. Now, let me just say this. Now, I'm not very tech savvy, so, you know, I'll do my Facebook Live as well. For some reason, I'm not sure what's going on with this feature, but if somebody could talk me through it, I appreciate it. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. I want to thank you, and I can't begin to thank you enough for all the support that I have been getting from everyone here in the United States and outside of the United States. I'm just happy to be a vessel to share a message. I thank you for those who, you know, been here since I started in 2019, as a matter of fact, August 11th. So with that being said, you know I don't start the show without prayer, so let's just go right into it. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you and I praise you. I give you the honor. I give you the praise. I just want to thank you, Lord, because I can't thank you enough for all that you have done for me, all you have done for me, even in my messy ways, my ratchet ways, all the ways you still sought me and you still love me. I heard a pastor just today that talked about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that those who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you for holding on to me. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for sheltering me. I appreciate you more than you will ever know for bringing me through the good times and bringing me through the bad times and just bringing me to this time right here. And as we celebrate the month of the Lord, this is National Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. You know that I am a survivor, and I could not have done it without you, without your grace, without your mercy, but without your unconditional love, Lord. I thank you for pulling me through that situation. I thank you for getting me through those habits that came out of that situation. And I thank you for allowing me to be the vessel that you have created me to be today. This is just the beginning, Lord. I thank you. And as I come to your throne of grace, Lord, I submit myself to you. And I invite your Holy Spirit to come in, that as we celebrate this month, Lord, that you watch over all those who are being affected by it, that have been affected, and unfortunately, you just have some that will maybe be affected. But we know that anything you do for us, Lord, when I asked that question, why, and you told me, why not me? Now I see, Lord, that the things that happen to people, it's not for them, it's for someone else. So thank you, Lord, for showing, being that, let me be that testament that he got me through. You got me through, Lord, that you could bring other people through too. And I thank you for the special guest that we have on tonight. I thank you not just her. I thank you for her ministry. I just thank you for her surroundings. I thank you for her support that she has to be the powerful vessel that you have created her to be. And now if I move forward tonight, Lord, I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to submit Puchina to you. I humble myself to you. And I invite your Holy Spirit to come in, that regardless of the technical difficulties, regardless of whatever, this powerful message is going to go through. Woo! And I thank you for the life this is designed to touch. And it's in Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. So with that being said, thank you all again. My name is Puchina Kirkendall. You're welcome in tuning in to another episode of Chronicles of a Favored Woman. When I tell you I'm so full, I don't even know how to, I feel like I'm going to jump and I want to run. So don't be surprised if I start running. Hey, just hey. That's why I'm giving you a fair warning up front. I'm just full right now because April is very special to me. For those of you who don't know, that I am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. I am a survivor of addiction. I am a survivor. I am a survivor. You know what? Let me take it a little further than that. I am an overcomer, what I am, an overcomer. Regardless of what the situation may look like now, that's just temporary. That's just temporary because there's better days ahead. There are better days ahead. You just keep on pushing. You keep on living. You keep on moving. You keep going strong. And you connect to who you need to connect to. those who don't need you need to connect to, just be okay and give them the power of the LIG. Let it go. And be okay with that. It's okay because everybody is not meant to be at every level in your life, and you just got to know when to take it away. Like I stated before, this is April. This is Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. And I just want to give a couple statistics about sexual abuse. I'm getting this from the National Sexual Violence Resource Center. When it says 1 out of 5 women experience completed or attempted rape or some type of assault. It also talks about 80% of women reported experiences this form of sexual harassment or assault, and every 68 seconds an American is sexually assaulted. You know what's interesting? 9 Americans are sexually assaulted, and 9 of them are usually a child. And yes, children do get molested. It's a sad thing to say, but it's a true thing to say. And as a result of that being done, only 25% of the 1,000 perpetrators will end up in prison. And you know what's interesting is silence. Silence is a way that some of our perpetrators try to manipulate us and try to keep us from telling it, or, you know, we find ourselves trying to be the hero, and we don't want it to get to our family. We don't want to have embarrassment. We play that blame game, like, well, or maybe I shouldn't have done this, or maybe I haven't done that. Let me just tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It is not your fault. I want you to know that. It is not your fault when someone violates you, period. It's not cool. It's not cool. It's not okay. No, it's not. And 98% of people that have been violated know they're violators. 7% is from acquaintances. 56% is from people that they really know. 36% is from family members. Now, I could speak on the family member part. I could definitely do that. You just have to be careful, you know. Sometimes it comes without you knowing, and abuse could be in many forms. It could be coercion. It could be experience to pornography. It could be quite a few things that could be too early for a child to learn. One day I'll share my story, but tonight it ain't about me. It is about my speaker, though. And when I met this young lady, beautiful, beautiful queen and woman of God, I was so impressed by her strength. That's what really drew me in. That's one of the many things that drew me in is her strength and her honesty. Oh, I love somebody who can be real, and she is as real as it gets. I would draw me to her and ask her to come here to share her story. It's a book, that anthology that she did called Walk Past My Hell. When I tell you, this is a phenomenal book of different stories and different traumatic experience that people have gone through. And I always say, from tragedy to triumph. And she is definitely not, I'm going to bring her on because I can't wait for you all to meet her. She's actually been on the show before. Her and her now fiance have been on here before. And I'm just looking forward to bringing her in. Her name is Dr. Yolanda Gerry. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for accepting the invitation to come back. How are you today?
Hello, Ms. Kirkendall. I am blessed, and thank you so much for having me as your special guest on tonight, especially to kick off Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Yes. I can't think of anyone better to kick this off except someone who I knew could be real and bring it. And just, I appreciate you for your strength. I appreciate you for the ministry that you have imparted on not just me, but so many other women, children, and men. You know, I just appreciate you to the fullest. So with that being said, I want you to introduce yourself, and then I want you to tell me what you do, who you are, what do you do, and why do you love doing what you do?
Well, without all of the titles, I'm just going to say I'm just a vessel being used by God to help his people heal in this world. You know, official title is, of course, I'm a certified life coach. I'm a domestic violence, sexual assault, youth bullying, and human trafficking awareness advocate. And I'm also the director of Women's Ministry for Epic Fellowship Church, and my business is YJ Empowerment Solutions. Why do I do what I do is because I'm an overcomer. You know, I feel the belief that if God has brought us through a thing or through a situation and we are allowed to tell our story, then we need to do just that, tell our story so we can help other people see that there's always joy, there's always light at the end of the tunnel, and you can overcome anything that you have gone through, and God can still use you. Even knowing that all of the stuff that you have gone through, he can still use you to bring healing in this world. And so for me, it's just a blessing to be able to be used by God to just help other people overcome. You know, and it's not something that happens overnight. You know, you don't overcome a thing overnight. You don't overcome domestic abuse. You don't overcome sexual assault overnight. It takes time. Mm-hmm. It's a process, but there are people who are genuinely there for you because they understand the journey that you have gone through, and if they have gone through it and they genuinely love God, they'll be there to help you get through it too as well.
Yes, yes. You are so right, and a vessel you are, and a powerful one, and anointed one at that. So with that being said, you know, I was just throwing out a couple of statistics that's out there, and we can tell people all too well about child, you know, that statistic that hits out to me is, you know, of all the assaults, so many kids are affected by that.
Right.
That right there, it says something to me. But if nobody can understand, I know that you can understand because you're an overcomer. And I would like to go into that. If you could go into that, if you don't mind sharing.
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned some, you know, when you talked about, you know, children going through that, because I was 13. I was that young teenager that went through that, you know, and it wasn't a good feeling. You know, sometimes, you know, people want to blame their parents. They want to blame everybody for what they've gone through. But I had to learn that, you know, my parents did the best they could with what they had, you know, and that's exactly what they did, you know. And sometimes, you know, I know back in the day, you know, especially when you come from a low-income family, your parents work all the time. They find other people to take care of the children. You know, you don't vet your family members or your best friends or your close loved ones. You just don't, you know, that's just not something you do. Let me go ahead and do a background check on you, see if you can take care of my child. You know what I mean? So being 13 years old and having to go through that, I went through that. And let me tell you, I don't wish that on anyone's child, and I think that's why, you know, I've always been overprotective of my daughter, but I also educated her at the same time. And I think that's where part of that comes from is lack of education, lack of knowledge, you know, being able to teach, you know, children, you know, what does sexual assault look like? What does molestation look like? What does, you know, sexual abuse look like? And so, not knowing that, that's why I said that's why our parents did the best that they could with what they had. But when I went through my situation, both my parents were working. You know, they left me in the care of, you know, a family friend, and that family friend turned around and molested me. You know, and without getting too graphic, I mean, he touched me in all the places that you could imagine that a man should not touch a child. You know, I mean, we're talking about from, you know, the top outer parts to the inner parts. And it was not a good feeling at all. Absolutely not. But, you know, Ms. Kirkendall, the crazy part about it is when you're a child, adults will say things to you that will scare you. to the point to where you become, you stay silent. And, you know, the child doesn't know better. So if you have a adult person telling a child, if you say something, I'm going to kill your parents or I'm going to kill you, what do you think that child is going to do? Be silent, not say anything because of fear of what that person would do, you know, to that parent or, you know, do to you. So I was silent for a very long time. I kept that secret because that's what it was. I kept that secret, you know, even after I left for the Air Force. I was 18 years old when I went to the Air Force. And I kept that secret for a very long time. And truth be told, because my dad was a police officer, you know, so if I told my dad, you know what would have happened, click, click, he would have pulled that trigger probably and killed him. You know, so for me, I held on to that secret, and I didn't say anything until after that man passed away when I learned that he died. You know, and then I went and told my dad, you know. But just imagine having to hold on to that secret for from being 13 years old all the way up to being in my early 20s. That's just
right.
Just imagine having to hold that in for that long, and then also know that guess what? That also affected my relationships, whether I was a teenager or whether I was going into, you know, marriage later on in life. It was like all of that holding that in affected how I dealt with men in general. You know, as I grew up.
Exactly. And it's funny that you say that because when I was coming into the show, you know, sometimes when we keep silent, it's we almost feel like a little hero in a sense because when we're told someone else is going to be affected by it, we go in protective mode because we want to protect, you know. So that's, once again, push under the rug. And then you go through life thinking, I don't know about you, but for me, I just try to act like it didn't ever happen. So I try to pretend like it never happened. I just buried it deep, 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 deep down, but not realizing that as a result of it, making a mountain out of a molehill, snapping off at someone like in an instant second, from 0 to 100 a second, you know, it all affects you. You think you got it all under control by handling the best way you know how. Yes, but in the hindsight, it's killing you. It's killing you.
Right.
You know, because I understand. I didn't understand boundaries. I didn't understand, you know, really how to have relationships because I didn't trust anyone after that. I didn't feel like I could go to anyone. I didn't feel like go to anyone. And I like you, you know, had I said something to, you know, certain people in my family, shoot them up would have been in effect, in full effect. And I know this. So I just kept to myself. But growing up, you know, now that you had that and now, you know, I know you graduated and that's when it came out. But after the abuse and before graduation, can you kind of give like some of the things that you went through as a result?
After the graduation and before, I mean, even...
Before graduation
from high school, like I said, it affected how, you know, as a teenager, I dated people. You know, I mean, even with going to my high school prom, I went to my prom by myself. And part of that had to, you know, I went with my best friend, a female friend, but part of that had to do with I wasn't sure what would happen if I went out with a guy to my prom. You know what I'm saying? So it affected how I interacted with guys, you know, because there's triggers there. And like you said, there's triggers there, and we may act a certain way, but those triggers go off on somebody else, and they have no idea why you acted that way. You know, unless you actually told them. You know, you had that conversation with them. So for me, it affected me. Now, I will say to further even go along, you know, even after I graduated and went off to college and, I mean, I went off to the Air Force and everything, even as a young adult, those triggers still, those things that happened to me still was with me, you know. But then I started thinking, well, is this how a man really treats a woman? You know what I mean? Like, is this is how a woman's supposed to be handled, even if they're in a relationship? You know, even though I saw different, you know, with my mom and dad. But, I mean, it plays with your mind, you know, especially when you go through things like that and you had not, you know, you hadn't been taught about therapy. You hadn't been taught about how to, you know, talk things out and those things. You know, that, you know, growing up, it was like, what happens in my house stays in my house. You know, we heard that all the time as children. Well, as I got older and I went through the process of, you know, getting my own healing and talking to, you know, a therapist and, you know, building my relationship with God, it allowed me to, I wouldn't say be more vulnerable, but it allowed me to be more vulnerable to the point where I talk about, you know, what I went through, because I don't want to hurt somebody else because of what I went through. And then not only that, I don't want, you know, my child to go through what I went through. So having to allow myself to heal, and then also educating myself on this kind of stuff was key. And so if God brought me through all of that, I feel it's my duty to make sure that if I can help and nobody else goes through it or nobody else's child goes through it, make sure they understand what's the difference between, you know, a friendly touch and a not so friendly touch, and what's right and wrong when it comes to being touched by, you know, someone you're dating, you know, and if you say no, no means no.
No means no. Yes, ma'am. No means no. And I tell ladies, don't ever feel like you need to be pressured into anything at all. No means no, period. And but I could definitely relate to you, Dr. Yolanda, on several levels. Oh, by the way, it's Chyna, not Ms. Kirkendall. It's Chyna or Futina, whichever one is okay with me. So, but I can understand that, because when I went through high school, I think that's, you know, that going off and making a mountain on a molehill is what I was going through the most. You know, the thing about it was, that I'm always a loving person, but I just felt like I had like a neon light across my head, like, touch Chyna, just go ahead and touch Chyna. So my mouth became my safety net, because people were afraid to approach me because they didn't know they was going to get embarrassed or what was going to happen after that. And then when I came from a family where, and no pun against my family now, just letting you all know that, where I came from a very not structured, but what is that word I'm looking for, where they're over, when they're very protective, sheltered. I came from a very sheltered family, so I didn't really get a chance. So, I mean, I might have did a couple games here and there, but it was highly chaperoned. But I didn't have the tools I need, like the social skills and stuff that I felt like I needed going in. I wasn't mad because they did the best that they could. But when I got to college, things was totally different. I had total freedom to do whatever I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And I didn't understand about life and what boundaries and stuff was. And that led to a very promiscuous years in college. It led to sex being equated for love, or what I thought was love. And it's so funny. I was listening to your fiance earlier when he said something, and I hope I can say it right, when he said that women end up in a situation because of our definition of what love is. I'm paraphrasing. And that is so true, because I equated sex for love. And I was still a firecracker. But you know what's interesting, Dr. Yolanda, is that even though I felt like I had that boundary up, I felt like, you know, I needed to have, you know, sex in order to be liked, or, you know, to be acceptable, because that's the only thing I knew was being touched. It was still something I felt like it was better, but I didn't know what it was. Until as I got older and I finally put it out there that I was molested and blah, blah, blah. And then I went to therapy and stuff like that. So I know you went to the military and you had some situations there, but at what point did you realize that you needed some, like, help like if you need, I'm not sure if you went to therapy or if you went to counseling. At what point did you get to that point where you felt like you needed to do something? I know you mentioned that you started educating yourself, but did you do something outside of that?
Well, after I went, like I said, you know, after the man, he passed, you know, that was also around the time that I was also married for the first time. So, mm-hmm. During that time, you know, even still dealing with, you know, sexual trauma, you know, I was also going through domestic abuse, you know, during that time too. So here it is, I'm holding on sexual trauma, you know, that's been in me, even though there was a sigh of release and I knew that it was not okay. Here it is, I was dealing with a domestic abuse situation too as well. And so that's why I said sometimes some of these things that we go through, it affect us in a way where we allow certain things to happen to us. And so I think for me, I didn't really, really get into, you know, seeking therapy and really, really, you know, honing in on trying to get my life together with my personal relationship with God and start my healing journey, really not until after I actually got divorced for the first time. And that was 2004. So just imagine that, 2004. So it's still, that was a long time, you know. But when I did said enough was enough, you know, that's when I reached out and said, you know what, I really need to get some help because I see myself going down the wrong road mentally. You know, and once you go into that state of depression and you go into that state of other things, it gets out of hand. I mean, because at one time, yes, I contemplated suicide too as well. You know, so I knew that, you know, it was time for, it's like, I know, Yolanda, you need to do something about this. You know, because if not, guess what? The devil gonna take me out. So I decided to choose me and say, you know what? I'm going to take this step. It's going to hurt, you know, because nobody wants to have to relive, I say that we're relive, rehash all the things that they have gone through in order for themselves to heal, you know, because, again, we're talking about triggers. But what I found is even through that therapy process and the more you talk about it, the more you write about it, the more you share your story, you know, that's when you find yourself in a place where, you know what, I know I'm healing because I'm no longer crying. I'm no longer feeling shame about what happened to me. I'm no longer worrying about what other people think of me. The only person that really matters about when it comes to anybody thinking about me is what does God think about me? Is God pleased? You know, what can I do, you know, at this point to ensure that God continues to stay pleased with me? And that was, Yolanda, start sharing your story. You've gone through therapy. Now it's time for you to help somebody else.
Yes, yes. How did you feel when you got to that point, and did you have what was your feeling at that time? Everybody's different. So what was your feeling once you decided, okay, it's time for me to help other people? Did you still have a hesitation? What did you go through? And then what was that final push that said, okay, this is what I'm going to do?
You know, there was, I remember when I first told my story, and, you know, there was anxiety there. There was still a little fear there. And even when I shared my story for the first couple of times, there was tears coming out of my eyes, and I asked people to bear with me, you know what I mean, as I get through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the same time, what I found is even though I was sharing my story, even though I was afraid, I did it afraid. Even though I had anxiety, I still did it. And I was glad that I told my story. I was glad that I opened my mouth and was a voice because guess what? At the end of me sharing what I went through and then shared the things that I had to go through to get to the point for me to even open my mouth and say something, there were women in the same room who walked up to me and said, "You just helped me. You just saved my life," because I was thinking about taking myself out. That right there, right there, let me know that, you know what, even if I'm afraid, even if I'm scared, I'm going to do it afraid anyway.
Amen.
Because it's not about me. It's not about me, Tina. It's not about Yolanda.
You're
not
right.
About me at all.
You're
it's
right.
About God. And it's about helping other people in this world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when they say that, if there's one thing that I know for a fact is that when I leave this earth, can't nobody say that I didn't serve God in a way that was pleasing, that I didn't help somebody.
Because
it's not about me. That's why I say you can take away all the titles. You can take away all that. At the end of the day, when I'm talking to people, I'm Yolanda. You know, I'm Yolanda. I'm the one who overcame domestic violence. I'm the one that overcame sexual assault. You know, I'm the one who had 2 failed marriages. You know, I'm the one that God still kept even in the midst of all of that.
Yes,
and now he's using me. That's what they're going to remember. They're going to remember Yolanda. They ain't going to remember nothing else. They're going to remember, you know what? She is a child of God, and she did exactly what God told her to do, and she did it afraid.
Exactly. I tell you now, I may start running. I love that. I'm trying to tell you now. I'm just honest and truthful. I'm very full because this is so special to me because it's such an awareness that people – we grew up in an era, at least I did. I graduated in 89. So we grew up in an era where, you know, you just kind of, you're seen, not heard. And then whatever happened, this house stays in this house. And I tell people all the time, pay attention to your children. Yeah, there's a certain place that our kids need to be in, but pay attention to them. You know, I used to get, well, that girl's fresh. Don't be around that girl, whatever. But no one took the time to say why you like that. Let me have a conversation with you. Nothing.
Right.
None of that. So mm-hmm. say all that to say this to people. When you see people out there, I'll give you a better example. My brother went to a school, and he labeled this girl. And I said, have you ever had a conversation with this young lady to find out why she does what she does? She may not even think she's doing nothing wrong. Why don't you be that one to reach out to our friends to find out? You'd be surprised. Never judge a book by the cover. And then I had to break him down. But like, your sister is categorized like that because people don't ever get to know my story. I said, so don't be so quick to judge because you don't know. They're not born a certain kind of way. They're not born to be promiscuous. They're not born to do this. There's a story. There's a deeper story. And you don't know what kind of Hades they going on the inside. You don't know. They've been bad enough.
That's
they got to
right.
deal with that, and they got to deal with the people on the outside judging them without even getting to know them. And some of the time, it's your own family that's doing it. So you just have to be mm-hmm. mindful because when they say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, that's a lie. That's a straight up
lie. There's power and death and, you know, life and death and the power of a tongue.
There's
boy, you can tell somebody.
The power of a tongue. Yes, you can bring
healing.
You
tell somebody something and they start believing it, you know, and the next thing
exactly.
you know, they take themselves out.
Exactly. Or you start being like, I had an identity crisis. I didn't know who I was and whose I was at that time. So I became whatever to please people or whatever. And when I, Lord, thank you for deliverance. That's all I can say. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I am blessed. I'm blessed. I can truly say that. And going through, I went to a marriage, and it was a failed marriage. And when I look back over it, as I have gone back over it myself, and I think about it, I should have never gotten married.
Mm-hmm.
I went there for the wrong reason, expecting to be saved, quote unquote, from all the demons and all the stuff I was going through, and not even looking at God. You know, I was looking for a man to help
mm-hmm.
me and you know, save me. You're my savior, and end up being in a very not a toxic marriage. And finally, we just have to, okay, this is what it is. And I was like, so I understand the thoughts of suicide. Had them quite a few times myself. I understand the, you know, about to have the nervous breakdown until I had to call on God because I just did not want to lose my mind. But it gets that serious, you all. For those who are just tuning in, my name is Pachina Kirkendall, and I'm here with the beautiful, powerful, and anointed Miss Dr. Yolanda Jerry, and we're kicking off April as Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. And what she is saying is so powerful, so powerful. So if you know someone who can benefit from it, so Trustee, thank you for sharing. I appreciate you so much. To let them tune in. If not now on the live, you know, come to afterwards. A lot of people listen to the show after the live, whether it's on Facebook or on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Favored Woman. And those who know me know I always post it on my Chronicles page and off Facebook page. And I want to, by the way, thank you all for all the likes. I really appreciate you. I really, really appreciate you. And I thank you for the sharing. But most of all, I thank my guest tonight for sharing and opening up her story. And her story is when my innocence was taken away from me. And she was 13 years old when her innocence was taken away from her family friend, you know, and she kept it in silence for a long time. And in this case, when her perpetrator died, is when she came out with it. And then even with that still moving forward, you know, she ended up in a domestic violence situation and then ended up getting herself, saving herself, you know, coming to the realization that this is something better out here. Started educating herself, started going to therapy, and as a result, she started helping other women who were going through. What a powerful way of doing it. First, acknowledging what's going on. Realize it's not your fault, okay? It is not your fault. You put that shame where it belongs to. The shame and the blame belongs to the perpetrator and not you. Not you, ladies. Not you, gentlemen. That's not you, you know? And then now you start wearing your crown. And you wear your crown and then, you know, and you end up paying it forward. God got me through this, I'm going to go back and help other people. And this is a perfect example of what we're talking about now when we talk to Dr. Jerry as she shares her story. So my question now to you, Dr. Yolanda, is going out, sharing your story, you're finally getting over it, and did you feel relief the more you were sharing your story to other women?
Absolutely. I feel like, and to be honest with you, there was an immediate release, you know, once I started sharing my story. You know, I felt like that burden was lifted off because I kept my mouth shut for so long. Mm-hmm. So once I opened my mouth, I felt like, you know what, this was a whole ton of bricks that I was able to just go ahead and just, like, let go. You know, I felt like, you know, there was a sense of not just relief and release, but also a sense of peace because I no longer have to keep that inside of me anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, because, you know, like when you have a box and it's closed and you got the, you know, it's just like being, or, you know, you got these chains on you, you know, with this lock. It's like you can't get out. You can't get out. Well, that's just how my inner voice was. I felt like I couldn't get out. You know, there was no way to get out. But the truth be told is God is in us, and we always have a way out. We always have a way out. We just have to trust him with everything and have faith and know that he's going to take care of us no matter what. And I think for me, it's like once I broke that chain, once I opened that box and I opened my mouth, that's when God was like, okay, daughter, now I can really use you. And it was uphill from there, you know. It became easier. You know, I connected with more and more people. More and more people start sharing their story. More people start, you know, just coming forth and being a voice. And now, you know, like I said, even in telling my story in the book, you know, even about the Me Too movement, you know, more people are being more vocal. And what I want people to understand that who have gone through, you know, sexual assault or sexual abuse, just like you said earlier, it's not your fault what happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your fault what happened to you. Nobody asked to be sexually assaulted. Nobody asked to be molested. Uh-huh. Nobody asked to be abused. You know, and then on top of that, you know, the second point is understand that healing takes time, but it is possible because God makes it possible. And we need to learn how to start saying, I'm possible. You know why? Because God is the one who makes it possible. When we look to him,
that's right.
Anything is possible. Absolutely. And then the third thing I want to point out is it's healthy and okay to feel the feelings that you have. You have to allow yourself to grieve. You're going to, just like you grieve a relationship, you're going to grieve that traumatic experience that you've gone through. And it's a process. You have to allow yourself to go through those feelings. You'll go through being mad. You go through being, you know, upset, disgusted, busted, whatever it is. If you got to scream, scream if you need to. You know what I mean? But those are things that you have to release and let out in order for you to be able to heal. So
that
it's okay to feel those feelings and embrace those feelings. So that's just, you know, the three points that I wanted to make sure that I pointed out because, you know, people don't understand that healing doesn't happen overnight. It's a process, and you have to allow yourself to grieve through that process to get to a place to where, you know what, I know grief comes in waves, but as I allow myself to embrace that, I'll find ways to better cope. And once I find ways to better cope, then you're no longer putting that hurt and that anger and emotion on somebody else. You see it for what it is. Yes, I went through this, but I'm still here. It's not going to keep me bondage.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You know, that part about the healing takes time is the one I want to hone in just a little bit. Because would you say or that healing could be like a death process? Like, you know, there's stages of death.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that is that healing. And I tell people there's some say it's 7, some say it's 5 stages of death, the denial, the anger, the bargaining, you know, and there is no particular order on how you mourn. I tell people that. And it goes the same for healing. As you mentioned earlier, you know, it's a process. And sometimes you may be up at the acceptance and then you find yourself back up to the denial or to the anger. You know, it's that, I don't want to say it's like a seesaw, but, you know, sometimes you can be up and sometimes you can be down when you're going through the process.
Absolutely. And that's true. You know, and I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, even with the grief process, you know, there's like 5 stages there. You got your denial.
Mm-hmm.
You have the anger that you go through. You have the bargaining, right? You know, you're sitting there trying to bargain, you know, at the same time. And then you have that depression stage that you go through, you know, where you feel like you're at an all-time low. But I think once you recognize those different stages that you go through and you know that's just part of the process, then you're better able to handle those waves when they come and accept the fact that, yes, that was my trauma, but my trauma is not me. Does that make sense?
That's right.
So
that's right.
At the end of the day, scars and all the things that we've gone through, the scars heal. But you know what I say? These are my beautiful scars because it's a reminder where I came from.
All right. And, you know, to piggyback on that, I tell people, when I look back over it, this is when you know you're healed. When you can go through and not react the same way you used to, like it's not fresh out the womb. You know, now I use it as a reference point. I remember going home one time, and one of my home people was like, Tina, I heard you were a pastor. I said, well, I didn't know that. Am I a pastor? I didn't know that. I thought I was a motivational speaker. I mean, I just can't believe it. All the stuff you used to do, I said, seems to me that I will be the perfect motivational speaker because I've been through. And because I've been through, I can help others come through. Are you ready for salvation? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm right here. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. I got to shut that conversation down real quick. But I say all that to say people have a tendency of trying to take you back to where you used to be because they're stuck. You just got to let them stay stuck. You got to keep moving forward because some people try to bring you back where God has already delivered you from. So when I look at it, I used to feel a certain kind of way. I used to be really bothered by it. Now I look at it as my testimony. Look how God has brought me. He's brought me from. Because if it wasn't for his grace and mercy, if it wasn't for me allowing myself to go through the healing, I wouldn't be the Fachina Davis Kirkendall that I am now. I wouldn't be the woman that's advocating for other women who go through. I wouldn't be the woman of God that God has created me to be, to go in those places that people don't want to go to touch on those subjects that people don't want to touch to, because he knew. He knew what he had intended for me way before I got to this point. And so I see that with you, Dr. Yolanda. I see how, you know, going through your, as you say, your walk past hell, you know, I see, so, because you were in that, you know, when you think about hell, you think about the fire. The fire is a refining place. I tell people, you have to learn to trust the process. The process is not easy. It doesn't feel good at times, but it's necessary. You can't go around it. You can't go above it. You can't walk beside it. You have to go through it. You have to go through it. And as you was walking past your hell, you know, as that fire was, you know, surrounding you, all the impurities was coming off. All the impurities was coming off. And then when the polished product comes out, here we got not just Yolanda Jerry anymore. Now we got Dr. Yolanda Jerry, an advocator, a woman of God. Well, actually, that's first, woman of God, an advocator. And not just any advocator. I mean, you are a strong advocator, and that's what I love, and that's what people love about you. You are a strong advocator. You are called spade a spade, and I love that.
Yes, ma'am.
The process, you're right, the process builds purpose. There's purpose for your pain. Anybody that's being used by God, they don't just automatically there and, you know, there's only one person that had walked the earth that was perfect, that was Jesus. Everybody else, hey, we fall short because we were born in sin. But we go through, and I'm one of those people, you can't help me go through something if you have not been through or walked through my shoes. So you're not going to understand, you know. But I thank God for allowing you to be the vessel that you are. I really do. I appreciate what you're doing for people. Totally awesome. So while we're at it, let's talk about some of the things you're doing. As you've gone through your trials, you've gone through the fire, and as a result, you started becoming a speaker, a motivational speaker, but what else do you do?
Oh, my goodness. So, well, you know, advocacy is centered at, you know, that's the center part of my heart. You know, just advocating and being a voice for those who are afraid to share their voice at the time, and just being a safety net and a safe place for people to be able to come and have someone to talk to. So advocacy is the biggest piece of what I do, you know, in my work. The other part is the ministry piece, because I believe that, you know, when you tie ministry into that along with advocacy, my God, how much more you can make an impact, you know, by sharing God's love and letting people know what God's love really is about. You know, tonight we talked, you know, this month in our series at Epic Fellowship Church, we talk about it's a love thing. But we're not talking about this fleshly love. We're talking about this love that God has for us. I mean, he gave his only son, you know, for us. And so, you know, you hear that term so much, but what does that really mean? You know, and we have to understand as, you know, that we know that God loves us. You know, we have to be content. He's going to always be pleased and be content you know, what we're doing. But at the same time, we also have to make sure that we're doing what we're doing in this world, that whatever we're doing, it has to be pleasing to him. So, you know, ministry and advocacy is the biggest thing for me. You know, to be honest with you, Tina, I don't think I could ever see myself not doing advocacy work. You know, it's something about, I've always been a servant, you know. My goodness, since I've been in the military, you know, I've always been a leader, a servant leader in the military. So serving for 20 years in the Air Force and retiring and now doing it as, you know, a regular thing in my normal life. All I did was just take it to another level. You know, so being a, you know, an empowerment speaker, you know, they call me the empowerment advocate because of my advocacy work, you know, and then just being able to just educate. It's so key that we must educate our children, you know. And I'm sitting here, I'm saying, I know I say you know a lot, so please excuse me. It's just how I talk.
Go ahead.
Education is so key, you know, when it comes to our youth, because again, as I mentioned earlier, these are things that we were not taught. You know, our parents did the best with what they, you know, with what they had. But when we know better, we do better, and we do better by educating the generations coming behind us. You know, letting our children know that, hey, you know, you're a teenager, this is what teen dating violence looks like. You know, hey, this is what a stranger looks like. You know, because now human trafficking is on the rise. People don't understand. Human trafficking is real. You know, and a lot of our girls, you know, even some boys too, are being drugged. You know, they're being pawned off to people, you know, for money, and this is a normal lifestyle for them until they find a way out and somebody can help them. So I think education is so important. If there's nothing else that we can do for the people in this world is to educate and love on them. Those are the two things that I see have to be hand in hand when it comes to helping somebody. Education and just loving on them. Because some people don't even know what love is.
Nope.
And stop giving advice. You know, it's like stop telling them what I would do or what you know, and start saying, how can I help? You know, that I'm so sick of hearing people say, you know, if I was you, I would do X, Y, and Z. Don't tell me what you would do if you've never been in my shoes. Don't tell me what you would do if you've never been the person that's been molested or you've never gone through domestic violence or if you've never been human trafficked or if you've never been on drugs. Close your mouth and just reach out your hand and say, how can I help you? When we start looking at it from that standpoint, man, there's so much we can do.
Yeah.
And stop tearing each other down in this world. We got to stop tearing people down.
Very much true. Very much true. You know, I love what you say about instead of what you would do, what can I help you? I believe that's what you said. What can I help you? Because, and honestly, people will say what they would do, but if they got in the situation, they wouldn't do what they tell somebody else to do. And that's usually the truth. They'll tell you, I would do it. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't know because if you've never been in a situation, you wouldn't know what to do. And you probably doing the opposite of what you told me to do. So, yeah, just go ahead and sit down somewhere. Just go and sit down somewhere. So I'm just going to wrap it up here. So I know that you have some things going on, so I want to get that out real quick on some of your projects you have going on. Well, first of all, let me just say this. Congratulations!
Thank you.
You know, even with all the trauma she went through, all the fire she's gone through, and now she's come out pure gold. And look at her. Going from unhealthy to healthy. And now I can announce she is engaged to be married. So congratulations. I'm excited because your fiance is going to be on the show next month. So I'm excited about that. So I'm very excited about that. But if people wanted to get in contact with you, well, first of all, I want to know a couple things. Any project you have coming up, and how will they get in contact with you?
So one of the things that right now the focus is, you know, I have, you know, a couple events going on, but right now ministry is a big piece right now in this season of my life. And so just to let everyone know, we just launched last week, last Sunday, we just launched a physical location of Epic Fellowship Church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. So come hang out with us, you know, come check us out. We're at 651 North Winstead Avenue in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. We love to worship, fellowship, and break bread with anybody who wants to come visit. You can also follow us online at our website, epicfc.org. That's epicfc.org. And then you can also follow us. We do also still do our online services too as well on Facebook at Epic Fellowship Church, where we actually go live every Sunday evening at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time on our Facebook page. So 10:30 physical location a.m. Eastern Time and 7:30 online.
Awesome. If they want to reach out to you, how will they do that?
You can reach out to me personally. You can go to my website. It's IamYolandaJerry.com. So it's IamYolandaJerry.com. Or you can also reach out to me via email, which is Yolanda@YJEmpowers.com.
Awesome. There you have it. There you have it. And, yes, I had the privilege of listening to some of it afternoon. But then you also have a ministry with your fiance that is powerful, women and men.
Yes, ma'am.
It's powerful. Could you tell them about that real quick?
Absolutely. So we do have a ministry together, Frank and I. It's called Love, Ministry, and Relationships. We have a Facebook group where we go out there and just pour in, you know, talk about different topics. And then we also want other people to engage, too, and share their experiences. And any way that we can help, we will make sure that we can, you know, provide help or, you know, anything that they need. We can try to give it to, you know, give them the information to the best of our ability. But we just want people to come together and know, you know, that works hand in hand, and love, ministry, and relationships, it all kind of works together, you know, like this big old pot of soup. And so one thing that we do together is try to exemplify our walk, you know, with transparency as much as we can, with discretion, right? You know, with discretion.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to let people see our love journey, because so many people give up on love. And for me having to go through a couple marriages, and Frank have gone through, you know, a few marriages, God just still let love, God still brought us together, you know. So I'm
That's
here to
right.
say, do not give
That's
up
right.
on love. It doesn't matter if you're 55. It doesn't matter if you're 45. It doesn't matter if you're 65. Believe me, when you stay connected to God and you focus on him, he's going to send who's for you. Because Frank stumbled upon me, but I had prayed for him. And I tell people this all the time. Until I leave this world, that's exactly what happened, you know. And so you never know what God's going to do until you fully yield to him. When you give it to him, just watch him move. So, again, you can find us on Facebook and our Facebook group, Frank and Yolanda Love Ministry and Relationships. You know, we also have that page. And then you can also connect with us, again, at my website, IamYolandaJerry.com, because we have a tab there on my website also.
Awesome. I just want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, because I appreciate it. So I'm going to leave you with these nuggets of wisdom and what Dr. Yolanda mentioned. She said, what happened to you was not your fault. Healing takes time, but it's absolutely possible. And three, it's healthy and okay to feel the feelings that you have. My last, though, will be a quote from her book, her anthology, Walk Past My Hell. Yes, my innocence was taken away from me, but it pushed me into my purpose. You can use your pain, and it will serve a purpose. My name is Fuchina Kirkendall. I've had the privilege and the pleasure of having Dr. Yolanda Jerry here. And I told her, fiance, now I'm going to be calling y'all. Because you all say,
hey, call us anytime. Call us anytime.
I appreciate it. Remember that I love you, but God loves you more, and I will see you next Sunday. Have a good night.